Hello, everybody. If you haven't caught the trailer yet, my name is Dylan, and the whole purpose of this channel and podcast, which I'm hoping to get up, is to take away any stigma or shame that might surround different areas of mental health and addiction disorders. Take away all that shame from it, so that way people can live life without feeling that shame. It's a very real thing that people do feel, and it's sometimes because people make them feel that way, because there's such a stigma behind depression or addictions, and it makes people feel bad. When in reality, just because you struggled with that, you had something with that, doesn't make you a bad person. So today, for our first episode, I'm actually going to be talking to you. Before we get started into what it is, I'm just going to give a little background about myself, because why would you want to listen to somebody that you don't know? Okay, well, I guess a lot of people may do it. But I want you to feel more comfortable with me. I want you to understand. You know what I'm saying? I want you to feel and know, okay, this is who Dylan is. And I like him. I hope you like me. If you don't, don't listen. It's fine. So, a little bit about me. I am 24 years old. I am currently studying in the field of social work. I hope to be a counselor someday and to help people through their path in whatever area it may be in. I am married, have been for 2.5 years, to my beautiful and lovely wife named Lauren. We have a little baby girl on the way, December 11th of this year, and I cannot wait to meet her. All I want is 5 little girls, so I'm already one closer to that. This is our first, so we're super excited. I love, 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 love John Wayne, and that might even be a bit of an understatement, maybe more of an obsession. I'm obsessed with the guy. I have 50 plus of his films. I have a cardboard cutout. I have a blanket, a clock, a clock right there, a cup, and I have a lunchbox. And I have this little metal thing as well. Actually, I have 2 different metal little tin poster board things. So I love John Wayne. I love being active and outdoors. I like to kayak. I go quite often in the summer. I love to climb. I live in Utah, so I hike a lot everywhere. Because, I mean, if you live in Utah, there's hiking trails all along the mountain. So why not go out and do that? I'm big into movies. My camera is currently stacked up on a nice stack of, well, they're actually TV shows that they're stacked on. But still, I just love media and pop culture. I think it's a fun thing, and I love to see how creative and into it people can get. So it's a fun thing. Also, something about me is I used to have a problem with pornography, and that is what we're going to talk about today. At the age of 12, I experienced or came across my first image of pornography. I kind of started to become curious, and actually, I might have been 11. Anyways, I don't know how I just started becoming curious, puberty we can say, and I remember one night I was home all by myself, and I was at the computer, and I came across a video, and it really shocked me at first. It was kind of like, whoa. And I looked away, I got off, didn't tell anybody. I was just kind of like, okay, well, that happened. It's not going to happen again. I'm good. And that was probably my first mistake, is I should have told somebody right then and there, right after it happened, that, hey, I did this. Because telling myself, okay, well, I did that. It's, you know, not interested. It was a lie because I'd already been seeking it out. And sure enough, when I found it, you know, it caught my attention. And then I was like, okay, did it. Don't need to do it again. And, you know, for a little bit, I didn't do it again. But then at this point, now I know for sure I was 12 at this point, is when I remember I was in sixth grade and my mom, we used to live in Idaho, and that's where my grandparents are from. And my mom would go to every year, she would go down there to help with our friends in their flower shop. My mom used to work in this flower shop when we lived in Idaho, and it was in my grandparents' town. So she would go stay with them, be with her mom for Mother's Day or around that time. And she would help work in the flower shop because it was a busy time. And so she took, it was herself and my two younger sisters, well, not myself, it was her and my two younger sisters went with my mom. I stayed home with my three older siblings and my dad. Now in the mornings, everyone else would leave before I would because their school started sooner. My dad had to be at work. And I remember that temptation had come back. And I remember one morning looking and finding all these pictures, and I was sitting there forever, and finally I realized that, you know, I had like 10 minutes or less to get to school, and I was like, oh my goodness. So I jumped on my bike. I think I had less than 10 minutes. I jumped on my bike and I pedaled as fast as I could to school, and I got there right as the late bell was ringing. So a bell would ring to say you got to come to class, and then you had to be in class or in the hallway unloading your backpack by the late bell. And I was unloading my backpack like right as I got there, the late bell rang. And I was out of breath. I was in a panic, and I was like, holy heck, like that was stupid. I mean, I wasted my morning looking at these pictures. And that's kind of when at that point is when it kind of started to down spiral, because I realized, whoa, because the website I had used was different than the one before. And I was like, wow, like there's more. And so I just started to look more and more. And pretty soon it was, I don't even know, it was like a weekly thing maybe. And for a while, I kept it to myself, and then my parents, they did this thing, and I highly recommend it to anybody, called Truth Circle, or Truth Night, not Truth Circle, Truth Night. And what it was is we would sit down as a family, and us as the children, even my parents would sometimes, we could say anything, it could be something that we did that we weren't supposed to, something you watched, anything, we could come forth and tell everybody. And there would not be any consequences. You know, as a kid, it's like, oh my goodness, no consequences? And it's like, okay, well, I did this. It's not like I did a lot of crazy. Okay, I was a crazy kid, but it wasn't like I was breaking a lot of things or rules. But, you know, I got into trouble. And so it was kind of nice when it was like Truth Night. And I remember this one particular Truth Night. I just sat there and I just knew. I was like, you got to say something. So I finally spoke up, and this is all I said. I mean, I was very quiet, and I just said, I've seen some things I wish I never saw. And then I just sat quiet and left it at that. And the reason my parents would do Truth Nights is it created this, they were trying to get into our heads as kids that we could literally tell them anything. And, you know, they weren't going to be mad at us. They were going to help us. And sure enough, after that, you know, no one said anything. Truth Night continued. And afterwards, I went into my bedroom, and I think I was doing homework. And my dad came in, and he had a nice little talk with me about it. And, you know, and I don't even remember what we said in the conversation at all. But, you know, he asked me, and we just talked, and it ended great. And after that, I did good. I remember, I think it was, I just stopped. And I felt great. And I was like, wow, that was, I feel so much better. It's done. It's over with. And I think I went 3 months, three or four, without seeing anything. And it was wonderful. And then it happened again. I remember I was sitting downstairs. No one else was down there, and my parents were upstairs. And I went down, and I just went to the computer and just started typing the names and seeing what came up, and kind of all started over again. This whole cycle. And for years, this kind of cycle would go on. As I would look for a long time, I would try stopping on my own. I'd say, okay, I can't do anymore, I can't do anymore. I'm not going to look anymore, I'm not going to look anymore. And then I would look, you know. And I remember sometimes being like, wow, look at you. Like, it's been X amount of days, you're doing so good. 10 minutes after I tell myself that, I'd be looking again. And it was just this whole cycle. And I'd tell my parents, and they would help me out, and we would, you know, try and figure out something. And I'm religious, so I would talk to religious leaders, and they would help me as well. But then I'd get back into it, and I'd just be quiet and not tell anybody for a while, and it would just kind of get more and more. And a few different times, while I was in high school, I remember my mom even talking with me and saying, hey, do you want to go to counseling? We can try and find you someone. We can see what will, you know, we'll make it work. We want to help you. And that's what I say. Like, that was the best thing about my parents. And I recommend this to any parent who has a child dealing with this, is you just got to love them. And I get it. It's a big thing, and you don't want your kid doing that. But the last thing they need is you getting upset, scaring them. And my parents never got upset. They just showed love to me, and that helped me more than anything else. So, like I said, a couple different times my mom suggested counseling, and I would just kind of be like, you know, mom, and I think I got it. I think I'm under control. I'm okay. And that was a lie. I made myself believe that I was okay, and I wasn't. And so this cycle continued until finally one day I just had enough. I couldn't do it anymore. I was tired of living that life. I mean, it consumed so much of me. I remember times my younger sisters wanting to come play with me, or they wanted me to go play a game or something, and ask me, hey, you know, we're going to play this. You want to come or want to do that? And I would tell them no, because I had other plans. And I just missed out on some things that I could have enjoyed a little bit more. And that's one of the things that bugs me the most. Well, finally, I was in my 20s, and I talked to my parents, and I just said, I think I want to go to counseling. And at the time, my mom was getting ready to go on a trip to Hawaii. She was, for a while, she was a travel agent. And she was getting ready to go to this Hawaii for her convention thing. And she canceled that trip because she felt like she needed to be there with me. And the money that was going to go towards that trip was going to go towards my counseling. And I love my parents more than anything for their love they have for me and the dedication they have to all their children. All six of us. I'm the fourth of six kids. So I started counseling. And my first counselor, I say first because I've had two. My first one just didn't work. You know, first session I went and I felt like we might hit it off. I wouldn't say we really hit it off that first session, but I was kind of like, you know, this is the right route. I need to be doing this. And so I just went ahead and signed up for, he had some deal where you sign up for like 5 sessions and it's cheaper. And his appointments were not weekly. So I had my first visit with him, and then it was like 2 or 3 weeks before I had my second one. And my appointments were never weekly. He was so busy that I couldn't meet with him week to week, and I needed week to week. And then he wouldn't remember why I was there. I mean, I'd go sit down, and it was kind of like I had to give him a refresher course of what I was doing there. Why was I seeing him? I remember one whole time I'd been doing, you know, he'd given me some steps, things to do, and I was doing them and it was doing better. And I told him that. And so the whole meeting, we just spent him showing me videos of like inspirational videos that had absolutely nothing to do with what we were talking about. It was like he was on this whole boost your confidence, morale, and showing me videos. I mean, one was like of Will Smith being super inspirational. And the whole time I was like, what am I paying you for? This, like, I don't know what. And then we got done, he's like, so, you know, how was that tonight? What'd you take away from that? And I was like, well, I mean, there was a video, I remember something, I don't even remember what I said, something I took away from it, but I was like, and so as soon as the 5 appointments were done, I was done. So I went back to trying it on my own, and it didn't work. And so after a few months, I went to the counselor, but this time I took the moment to kind of look at some other options, see who was trained for this, who had dealt with this. And, you know, quite frankly, I'll say my mom did a better job at it than I did. Once I said I wanted to go, she just started looking. I remember one night she said, here's a few different options. What do you think of these guys? And one of them stuck out to me. And so my mom, being the amazing woman she is, she called him up, said, hey, here's what's going on. I'd like my son would like to go see Nathan. Nathan was his name. And I went to my first appointment with Nathan, and it was a game changer. He had worksheets. He said, okay, I want you to be tracking when you feel, you know, after, if you look, I want you to track and say, okay, where were you? What time was it? What were you feeling? What triggered you to get there? And so, you know, these worksheets allowed me to kind of analyze and see, oh, okay, well, like, it's usually happening around this time of the day. It's usually this emotion. And, you know, what triggered me might change, but, you know, it was interesting to be like, okay, well, I now know where, like, I can't be alone, or when I need to find a filler during this time. And the other thing is I saw Nathan every single week. He always knew my name and knew why I was there. He would, in the first maybe 5 minutes or so, we would just catch up on our weeks, how things were going. He built a connection with me. And I went and saw Nathan for a few months, and sure enough, it helped. And while I was seeing Nathan, it was the same time I met my wife, and after I knew that I wanted to marry this girl, it was one of the first things I told her. I said, here's where I'm at, and this is where I'm going to counsel right now. And she was more than understanding, which is awesome, because not everyone's always been more than understanding. And I understand it. It's why people aren't understanding. I mean, I get it. Pornography is not a nice thing. It's a horrible thing. If I could go back and change one day of my life, it would be that day. I would stop my little self from going down this road. I really would. it's an easy question if you ask me what day I would go back. Even if I could change something, you know. But some people haven't been the nicest about this whole issue to me. You know, I tell them and the way they react is kind of made me close up even more about it. But that's the thing is, I don't want to be close up about it. You know, I've had this experience, so rather than keeping it to myself, I want to share it with others. And that's why I'm doing this, is I want others to know that there is hope. I've had to work at it. It hasn't been an easy journey. If you notice, I said I started when I was 11, was the first instance. And I said I was in my 20s. And even to this day, I have certain rules and guidelines that I have to follow because I don't want to mess that up. I'm happily married to my wife and I don't want to lose her and I don't want something like this to jeopardize that. And to those of you out there who are struggling with this issue, all I'll say is just don't give up. Don't ever give up. Because when you start giving up is when it all goes to hell. So keep fighting. If you don't have someone you're talking to, it doesn't even have to be a counselor, but if you don't have someone that you're talking to, find that confidant. Whether it be your significant other, a parent, a friend, a family member, whoever it may be, find that person that you can talk to when moments get rough, when you feel that temptation. Because when you have a support system, it's so much easier to deal with this. It really is. Another piece of advice I would give to you is if you are religious, that's great. If you're not, that's totally cool too. For me, I am religious, as I said earlier. So it was, for me, my faith did help me. I would pray often. And if that's you too, that's so awesome. But let me just say, prayer is not enough. You can't just pray and expect God to take it away from you. You got to do your part. So I've prayed a lot and I've worked a lot. It is possible to get through this. And so that's my story. You know, it's who I am. It's defined a good chunk of my life. I'm 24. And it's, you know, it was a thing for a while. So... And for those of you out there who haven't experienced this but have a stigma against it, all I can say is just love the person. Don't put this stigma around it, because those of us who are struggling with pornography and know that it's bad, we know that what we're doing isn't okay. And we already beat ourselves up plenty enough. And then we don't need somebody else coming in and beating us up even more. I'm gonna wrap things up here. I hope that we can learn to treat each other with love and respect regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of what we're going through. Just because I went through pornography and you didn't, doesn't mean that you're not suffering with a bad marriage or a dysfunctional family. You know, we all have our different things, and there doesn't need to be stigmas behind everything. You know, we are people, and this is life, and we need to learn to work together and help one another out. And that's what I hope you take away from this today, is to help one another. So, that's what the show is going to be like. If you have questions, you can comment down below, and I'd love to answer them. I have already a few other guest speakers lined up to come on and share their stories with us, and I'm super excited about it, actually. I've got a wide range of speakers so far. Okay, well, I have a wide range. I have someone come in to talk about self-harm. I have someone coming in, two different people talking about different eating disorders. And I have someone who's coming in who, well, they have a few different things that they can talk about. So they're working on deciding what they want to come talk about. So it leaves room for us to have them back. But I hope that you all have a good week. I hope that you stay safe and make sure that you don't get sick, especially during this crazy time. Thank you for watching today, and I hope that you have the most wonderful week. Oh, also, like, share, and subscribe. And another thing is we're releasing the episodes bi-weekly, so it'll be every other week that I release a new episode. That's if I can continue to find people to come talk to us. So take care, and we'll talk to you later.